Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is episode 1242B. The B's are always great guests, and we have one today. He's a return guest, but he's special and a real pioneer. This is, as I said, 1242B. We're presented for you, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast, by LifesFirstNaturals.com and LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to their websites, especially go to LongevityPlaybook.com's website to sign up for the free newsletter, or LifesFirstNaturals with an S.com for randomized controlled trials. And there are three products: TruBiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and DiRescue, that specialty substance that was for kids' diarrhea, but actually works incredibly well when you're starting a GLP, GIP drug, such as Zepbound, Mounjaro, Wegovy, or one of the semaglutide drugs, such as Ozempic, or increasing the dose of those. Go to that website, LifeFirstNaturals.com, and you can see the randomized double-blind studies for TruBiotics and Bovine Colostrum as well. Our guest today is Omid Vaisek, V-E-I-S-C-H. He is a bioengineering, chemical, and biomolecular engineering professor at Rice and a Cancer Prevention and Research Institute Texas scholar. He serves as director of the Rice Biotech Launchpad, which is an initiative to accelerate the translation of Rice discoveries into clinical practice. But today we're going to talk about something special that he has really pioneered in that is important for all of us. That is a indwelling pharmacy or a continuous pharmacy. And the one that we're going to talk about is a cytokine factory inside you if you have cancer, to help fight hard to treat cancers such as metastatic melanoma, pancreatic, and colorectal cancers. How did you come up with the concept of a indwelling pharmacy, or a, if you will, an indwelling cytokine factory?
Yeah, so many of the biologic type drugs that patients use today, drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy, checkpoint therapies like Keytruda, ipilimumab, and cytokine drugs like Proleukin, are actually made by cells in big steel bioreactors and factories. And a great deal of cost and logistics goes into purifying, stabilizing, and ultimately those bioactive molecules extracted from the living cells are then placed in syringes and administered to patients. But one of the challenges with biologic drugs is they require frequent injections, and it's really hard to get their biodistribution, meaning they don't always go to the place they need to go correctly. Our thought process was, what if we could actually come up with innovative ways to bring that manufacturing process into the patient by combining the cells with innovative biomaterials that protects the cells from the host immune system, allows these cells to survive in a living patient, and produce these biologics at the site of action where they're needed. And, you know, in the case of cancer, which is where our studies were focused on, the site of action is near where the tumor is. And that's where the immunotherapy is going to be the most effective. That's really the genesis of this project, was really focused on addressing the current shortcomings for biological manufacturing and delivery, and trying to close that gap by coming up with an approach that allowed for the production of the biologics to be where it needs to be, adjacent to the tumor.
So talk to us a little bit about the immune system. While our audience is somewhat sophisticated and knows a little bit about T killer and cytokines, talk to us a little bit. What are you really doing in this factory to help kill cancer in this specific case? Is there a set of cells in there that manufacture it? Is there an antigen or antibody that leaks out over time that causes something? What's going on in this factory that you're making?
Yeah, great question. So inside the implantable devices, the cell-loaded factories, there are living cells that constantly manufacture cytokines. And as your audience may know, cytokines are messenger molecules that activate the immune system. In the case of cancer, what's happened is actually a failure of the immune system. As cells mutate, the immune system should be able to recognize those and mark them for destruction. But cancer develops when the immune system has failed, and these mutated cells are now allowed to grow uncontrollably. What we're hoping to do with immunotherapy is to retrain the immune system to activate it in a way that allows it to now recognize the cancer cells as foreign and build robust immunity that allows the host immune system to now attack the cancer cells and eliminate them.
As I understand it, the cytokines will attract specific immune cells based on what cytokine is produced and its interaction with that tumor. You must have a target, and is it different for different cancers?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as cancer cells grow and die, they shed little fragments of themselves, which include the mutated proteins that are associated with the cancer cells. These proteins then naturally traffic to the lymph nodes that are near the tumor. And in the lymph nodes, there's the opportunity to train the immune system to specifically recognize these antigens. And we explored a number of different cytokine messengers in this study. We identified one, which is interleukin-12. Interleukin-12 seemed to work really well at allowing for generation of T cells. These are specific immune cells that are able to differentiate healthy from cancer cells. And upon recognition, they can actually molecularly target and kill the cancer cells. So our goal was, what is the right type of cytokine? What is the right concentration of cytokine that could be produced adjacent to the tumor that would also drain to the same lymph nodes that the tumor antigen is shedding to? And there, the cytokines can help shape the repertoire of these effector T cells that can then leave the lymph node, find the cancer wherever it may be. And in fact, in this study, one of the innovative things that we were able to demonstrate was while the cytokines were placed right next to the tumor, in many of the cancer models we tested, there was tumor that has metastasized throughout the whole body of the animal. And the immune cells generated locally were able to traffic throughout the body, find those at distal sites, such as the lung or other distal organs that the tumor had metastasized to.
So even though it's placed in one specific place, this factory of cells that produce the interleukin 12 cytokine, what they do with the T cells in such a way is it activates them so they can go throughout the body, and we call them T killer cells because they kill the tumor. Is that somewhat correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Now, Rice University is really near MD Anderson, and one of my friends, Jim Allison, who really was the discoverer of the checkpoint inhibitor system, is there. Are you collaborating with him on this, or is there a collaboration between Rice and MD Anderson?
Yeah, so we do work with MD Anderson a lot, and I know Jim Allison as well, and you know, it's amazing. His discovery has had such a profound impact on patients' lives, and in a way, the approach of cytokine therapy complements what he has discovered. What we know about immunotherapy today is for it to be successful, you need three critical ingredients. One being the ability to inhibit those checkpoint molecules, the blockades that stop the immune system from properly attacking the cancer cells. So that's one of the key ingredients. Second one is, of course, you need to have antigens. So tumors that have a lot of mutations, they tend to be antigen rich. But in many cases, what happens is, despite the fact that you may have those two key ingredients, patients today still do not respond very well to immunotherapy. Some estimates have it as 5 to 15% at best of all cancers that in theory have enough antigens that should respond to immunotherapy don't respond today. And it turns out that the missing ingredient is the cytokines, because you still need a way to activate the immune system. And that's really critical in cancers that have figured out a way to suppress the immune system, to prevent that education from happening, to suppress the activity of the immune cells as they infiltrate into the tumor. And so the cytokines have a way of resetting that. Their molecular mechanism is to kind of reshape that repertoire to change the dynamics from a suppressive state to an active state, which arms the immune system to now properly attack the tumor. And so there's a lot of synergies with what we do. In particular, we work closely with MD Anderson, a lot of the clinicians there. We're really excited about the opportunity to advance this to clinical trials. And our first indication is ovarian cancer. And we've been working closely with gynecological oncologists at MD Anderson to design that trial. And everything goes well. We hope to be in human trials by the second half of next year, 2026, and be testing this concept in patients who are not responding properly to immunotherapy, like checkpoint therapies that, of course, Jim Allison pioneered. But perhaps the cytokine therapy could synergize and activate the immune system in those patients within the tumor microenvironment to facilitate efficacy.
That's great. And thank you very much for being on the line and doing this. Again, you can find out more information about this at veiseh lab.rice.edu.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on here.
This has been the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Congratulations on this breakthrough. Let's hope that the human trials, especially in such difficult cancer to treat as ovarian, that has metastasized, go extremely well. This is a great breakthrough in the making. Congratulations to Rice for recruiting you. And it is again, veiseh lab.rice.edu to find out more. This has been 1242. Go to our sponsor's website, LifesFirstNaturals.com and LongevityPlaybook.com. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too. Thanks again.